Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, reading down through verse 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This has been a sort of emotional week for me. You know, when somebody goes to heaven from the church, it affects me. Those of you have, and I told Gene's kids, Dwayne and Gene's kids, especially the ones I don't know very well, Doug and David. I said, you know, I asked them. I said, do you guys want to say anything in the funeral? And they said, no, we can't make it. We would cry. And I said, well, I got to apologize to you right up front because I'm going to cry. I know I am. I just can't. I can't do a funeral for somebody I love and not. Show my emotion. I mean, I try not to show it, but I can't. And so I've been thinking about Brother Dwayne this week. I've been thinking about how, on occasions like that, how the church family pulls together and just loves on the family. And I saw that again on Sunday and Monday, as many of you went to the funeral home, and then for the dinner, for the funeral on Monday, and then the dinner on Monday. And then the other thing that's weighed on my heart this week is the phone calls and all the notes, phone messages and different things that I have received. Just let me know that you're praying for me and that you have, you know, you love me and that you're asking God to work. And so I got to thinking Thursday, Friday night, I'm glad. So glad that I'm part of the family of God. And I'm glad that God has put me in this church family. And I know there's a song by this title. I'm not going to sing any of it tonight, Adam, so don't worry. But I'm so glad that I'm part of the family of God. And tonight, in a real simple way, I want to give you five reasons why I am glad and encourage you to think about the fact that you are part of the family of God, and you need to be glad about it. You can probably come up with other reasons than my five, but I think as I talk about them, you'll probably share those and be able to add some to them as well. So, five reasons for why I'm glad that I'm part of God's family, for why I'm part of this church family. Number one, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so I got to thinking about that, and I am going to a place that is prepared for me. Now, I want you to stop and think about it. If you're saved, you are on your way to a place that is prepared for you as an individual. I mean, Christ himself is in heaven tonight, preparing a place for you as an individual. And I know heaven's going to be a wonderful place, and the Bible tells us a lot about heaven. You know, the street is made out of gold, and God, Jesus used the word mansions to describe it. We know there's going to be no tears there. We know there's going to be no pain there. We know there's going to be no separation there. We know there's no night, but the sun is not required, because the light of the world is going to be the light of heaven as well. And so I am going to a place that Jesus has prepared just for me. And if you're saved tonight, you're going to that same place. You're going to a place that Jesus has prepared for you as an individual. And I would remind you tonight, there's nobody that knows you better than your Savior. I mean, he knows you better than your mom and dad. He knows you better than your spouse. He knows you better than your children. There's nobody that knows you like Jesus Christ knows you. And in that knowledge, he is preparing a place just for you and just for me. I would remind you tonight that the one that's preparing the place for us is the one that spoke the world into existence. The one that in the 6 days of creation made everything that we see about us. Sometimes I look at little Aaron and I look at his little hands and see how his fingers go like this when he wants something. I was looking at his little feet the other night as we were laying on the floor, and I remembered it was God. I know he uses mom and dad, but it was God that made him that way. It was God that made every single one of us the way that we are. And the Bible says, I am wonderfully I can't remember the other word that it uses in the psalm, but I am made by God, and everything that we see about us is made by God, and he is the one, Jesus is the one who spoke everything into existence, and he's up in heaven for as long as you've been saved, and he's preparing a place just for you. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me. I know some people build customized homes, and they plan everything down to the detail. I've never done that, never wanted to do it, never thought that I could get through it in that way. When our house burned, we talked about, building it back on the same spot, but decided that we just go ahead and buy something that was already built. But up in heaven, I'm going to have a customized mansion, and so are you. Up in heaven, as we sit at the table, hey, God knows what you like. There'll be banana pudding on my table, Donna, and you won't have to make it. There'll be fried chicken and mashed potatoes, and I could go on and on, but some of you might be hungry tonight, so I'll spare you that. But God knows what you and I like. Don't you think that up in heaven he's going to give us what we like? Don't you think up in heaven he loves us and he wants to show his love toward us? He's done that while we're here. Do you think that's going to change when we get to heaven? I don't. I think everything in heaven is going to be another way of God telling us, I love you so much, I have prepared this place just for you. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. We're going to enjoy singing the songs of faith, praising our Savior. We're going to enjoy getting into this book. You say, well, I didn't think there was going to be teaching and preaching in heaven. Yes, there is. There's a lot of things about this book that I want to know that I won't understand while I'm down here. But in heaven, I'll get to talk to the one that wrote it. And I can ask him my questions directly. And I can learn something more about this book. But you know what the best part of heaven is going to be? We'll get to be with him. That where I am, there ye may be also. It'll be wonderful to walk on a street of gold. It'll be wonderful to live in that place that God has prepared for me. It'll be wonderful to sit at the table. It'll be wonderful, the fact that there is no night and no tears and no separation. But the thing that makes heaven heaven is none of that. It's the fact that we are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that makes hell hell. It's not the pit. I was talking to somebody this morning. I believe in the literal hell. I believe there's fire in hell. I believe it's the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. I believe everything the Bible says about it. But the thing that makes hell hell is the fact that Jesus won't be there. And the thing that makes heaven heaven is the fact that he will be there. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and my final destination, again, by way of death or of rapture, however it may come, my final destination is to walk on that golden shore where we'll never be separated from those that we love and never be separated from our God. And like we sang at Brother Dwayne's funeral, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We're going to live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and forever. And I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God because I'm going to heaven. Number two, I'm glad I'm a family of God because I never have to be alone. I never have to be alone. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in and took up residence. And ever since that day, I have never, ever been alone. I'll remember two times growing up where I was alone. And there's different reasons I remember both of those times. I remember one time I was sick. I don't know, I was about 11 or 12 both of these times. I remember one time I was sick, and my mom was working, my dad was working, my brothers went to school, and I was home all alone, and I used to love nutty donuts. You know, those stick donuts that have nuts all wrapped around them? And my mom had a couple dozen in the freezer. And so, you know, about noontime, I was getting hungry and felt a little bit better, so I said, I think I'll go down there and have a couple nutty donuts. I did. A couple dozen nutty donuts. And man, you talk about being sick. I was sick. And you know, to this day, I have never eaten another nutty donut. I've tried it with White Castle, Brian, but it doesn't work. The more I eat, the more I want. But so I was alone. Now, the other time I was alone, I remember it because I got scared. Again, I was about 11 or 12, and I don't know what the occasion was, but I must have been sick because my dad was the kind that if you were living in his house and it was time to go to church, you went to church. It didn't matter if you wanted to go or not, you went to church. But it was a Wednesday night, so I must have been sick, and they left me home. And I remember it was in the fall of a year, so it got dark. Church started at 7:30, where we went, prayer meeting started at 7:30. I remember it got dark, and I started hearing strange noises. And I can remember talking to my mother before they left for church. She said, "You're going to be okay here by yourself?" I said, "Yeah, no problem. You know, I'm 11 years old or 12 years old, no problem." So it got dark, and I began to hear these noises. And you know how your imagination can take over. I got scared. My grandfather, who was not a Christian, who lived about 3 miles away from us, I called him on the phone. I said, "Grandpa, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm watching the ball game." I said, "You want to come over and watch it with me?" He says, "How come you're not at church?" I said, "Oh, I was feeling bad." "You mean they left you home alone?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Was everything okay?" I said, "I think there's somebody trying to break into the house." I was scared. And he got in his car and came over. And just as he was pulling into the driveway, my parents and my brothers got home, and so he didn't even come into the house. But I can still remember the fear that I had that night, and the fact that I was alone. Now, I've been by myself a lot of times since I've been saved. Most of you know I traveled a lot in my job with General Motors, and I spent many, many nights in hotel rooms all by myself. But I never was alone. I never was alone. And ever since the day I got saved and the Holy Spirit moved in and took up residence, I have never been alone. And I want to tell you something. I don't know, and we've talked about this before, I don't know how people that don't have God in their life, that don't know Jesus as their Savior, make it through this life by themselves. I don't know how you bury a husband and a dad and a grandpa and a great-grandpa like we did on Monday and not have the hope that we have that he's in heaven. And not have the Holy Spirit, the comforter, in our lives. I don't know how you do that. I just don't know how people that don't know Christ and don't have God in their life, I don't know how they do it. The times that we forget about the Holy Spirit and take him for granted are sad. But you know what's sadder? It's the times that people need him that don't have them. And I'm so glad in the times that I need to know that God is there with me, he is there with me. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, when I was a kid, we used to sing the song, and I can't remember the verse. It's something about hearing the thunder roar and seeing the lightning flash. But when you get down to the verse, the chorus went something like this: no, never alone. No, never alone. He promises never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And every single child of God, every single person that's part of the family of God has that promise. Your God will never leave you alone. The times that we, like I said, ignore him, and the times that we turn our back on him, and the times we're rebellious against what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our life, and the times he's still there. He doesn't get mad and leave. He's always there. Again, we may not acknowledge his presence, and we may not recognize his presence, but he is always there. He will never leave us or forsake us. Now, in the time when trouble comes, and when we lose loved ones and we get into problems in our life, we know he's there. But I want to remind you tonight that one of the reasons I'm glad that I'm part of the family of God is that he never leaves me or forsakes me. He's always there. Always. Always. Number three, I'm glad that I'm part of the family of God tonight because he has put people in my life that love me. That love me. In John chapter 15, verse 12, the Bible says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And I'm so glad that God puts people in our life that just love on us. Jean told me Monday afternoon as she was leaving the church, she says, "Preacher," she said, "Brother Darrell," she said, "Brother Darrell, I feel so loved." And I said, "You are. You are. We love you." This was just the way. Everything that was done for the Dowland family on Saturday and Sunday and Monday was our way of saying, "We love you. We love you." Every time we get to help somebody who loses a loved one or who faces an operation or faces surgery or faces a doctor appointment, and we gather as a church family around them to pray for them, what we're saying to them is, "We love you. We care for you. We're going to hold you up in prayer." And I've been, like I mentioned, I've been blessed the last couple weeks. There's a couple that's not part of our church. They come every now and then. But they have sent me a card the last 3 weeks and said, "Just want you to know we're praying for you and we love you." Not even a member of our church. I've got notes from the little kids. Of course, they're prejudiced because they say, "Hey, you're the best preacher in the whole world." And, I'm probably the only one they can remember, so they can say that. But in their own way, little girls and little boys have written me notes and say, "Preacher, we love you. We love you." Hey, I've got even some notes from the teenagers. From teenagers. Said, "Preacher, we love you. We're praying for you." And I can't tell you how many of adults have just let me know in their own way, either with a phone call, with a pat on the back, with a question, "How you doing? I know what you're doing. You're saying, 'Preacher, we love you.'" And it's not just me. When people come into this place, they feel loved. They feel loved. That's why people come back. They feel the love of Christ flowing through us to them. And if I had to choose between being a big church and being a loving church, I would choose being a loving church. But you know what? I don't think God's going to make me make that choice. Because the bigger we get, the more people we have to love. And the more people we have to love on. And I'm glad that I'm part of the family of God and part of this church family, because God has put people in my life to love on me. Now listen, he's done the same thing for you. The same thing for you. The people in the church, they love you. We may not say it all the time. We might not express it the way that we ought to express it. And that's one of my one of my points this morning was, don't wait to express your love. If you love somebody and you get the leading from the Holy Spirit that says, hey, you ought to let them know. You ought to let them know that you love them. You ought to do it right then. Don't say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow, or I'll wait till next time I see him, next time I talk to him, I'll let him know. No, if the Holy Spirit leads you to tell somebody that you love them, tell them. Tell them. They need it. They need it. There ain't much love going out on in this world. Love is self-sacrifice. Love is putting others before yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And there ain't much of that kind of love going out in the world. But there's a lot of it going on in here. As it should be. As it should be. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God because he's put people in my life that love me, and he's done the same for you. Number four, I'm glad I'm part of the family of God because he's put people in my life to encourage me. To encourage me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we read it this morning. It wasn't what I preached from, but it was a verse that was there. And consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, there are certain people in this church that irritate me. Just irritate me. But in a good way. I mean, they can say something and it'll be just like a dart going through my heart. They're right. They're exactly right. They're just living this verse and consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I want you to know that's one job your associate pastor does very well. God uses him to provoke me, the good kind of provoke, to love and to good works. Sometimes my General Motors train comes out and he says, Dad, are you sure you want to handle it that way? Are you sure you want to do it that way? And I have to step back and Jeff and I were talking in the bathroom before service, and he said, you know, I was working for my son, but it was a little hard, and so I finally got out on my own. I know what you're talking about. Adam doesn't boss me around, but he can provoke me. Again, not getting mad. Don't take the term wrong, but to provoke me to think about how I'm thinking, to think about what I'm doing, to love and good works. And there are people you don't even know that you do it. I mean, you don't say anything, but just by your example, just by your faithfulness, just by your character, just by the way that you conduct yourself, you provoke me to love and good works. And I desire to be nowhere else. I desire to be right here with this group of people that love and encourage me. And then number five, people that help bear my burdens. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so as we gather together and we make known our prayer request and we lift one another up in prayer, what we're doing is bearing one another's burdens. As we, and the deacons and I get to do this, a lot of times you don't even know that we're doing it unless you pay attention to the treasurer's report. But as we administer the other's fund and we help people in certain situations, what we're doing is helping bear those burdens You have a part of all that because you give toward it. As we hear about different things that are going on and different needs, and we move to meet those needs, what we're doing is bearing one another's burdens. And again, I'd hate to live in this world and not know there were people that will help me bear my burdens. I would hate to live in this world and have to carry them all by myself. And I'm so glad that God's put me in a family that help bear my burdens. Now again, you could probably add to that list. I probably could too. There's other reasons that we're glad that we're part of the family of God. But these are the five that spoke to my heart this week as I just thought about Brother Duane and as I thought about you and things that are happening. I hope you're glad you're part of the family of God. If you're here tonight and you're not, you can be. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can become part of that family by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, and the penalty is to not to be part of that family. The penalty is to be separated from him forever. But Jesus died on Calvary, and he paid for all my sins, and he paid for all your sins. If tonight, if you're not saved, if you ask him, he'll save you. He will. He'll save you. And he'll make you part of the family. His family. Join heir with Jesus and part of the family of God. Not a better family to be a part of. There's not. If you're not part of it tonight, why don't you join us? Why don't you come and ask Jesus to be your Savior? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making us and giving us the opportunity to be part of that family, for sending Jesus to die in our place, for deeming his death sufficient to pay for our sins. And I pray, Father, if there's just one here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, tonight they would see their sin, they would see the penalty for that sin, and they would see the Savior, the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And tonight they come and trust him. Father, just help them to pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior. And in a minute, help them to walk the aisle and share that decision with us. And then for the many, many Christians that are here, help us to realize what we have. Help us to never take it for granted. Help us to always rejoice that heaven is our home. You never leave us alone, that you put people in our life to love us and to encourage us and to help bear the burdens that are in our life. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to further your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.